hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to this Easter Sunday. I know everybody's got a lot of different things going on, but if you have time to join us, that telephone number to talk about gardening, landscaping, pest control, environmental issues, whatever's on your mind, is the same as always. It's 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. As most of you that listen to the show know, that we went through a couple of weeks of our contest, and people didn't get the answer to the two plants. The two plants were wort wen holly, which is a very unusual holly. It's kind of hard to find out there. It's one I'd recommend that you try if you do run across it. The information's on our website now on dirtdoctor.com in the library. It's a hybrid. It's a cross that was created by a guy named Wort Wen, Wort L. Wen. And it's a good one. It's got some unusual new growth characteristics. The new growth is kind of a coppery, reddish coppery color. And then great big leaves, very large berries. So if you get a chance to get one, give that a try. The other one is a tree that's rare that I ran into that I got one from a tree company to try some years ago. So it's out there. And we mentioned in our newsletter that covered these two plants. Those of you that get the newsletter have seen this information already. But the loquat leaf oak is a beauty. It has a thick leaf that resembles loquat. You'll notice in the photographs on our website, though, that the foliage varies tremendously. And I ran into that difference when I was looking at the one at Stephen F. Austin. I was visiting with David Creech in Nacogdoches. Well, actually visiting with him a year or two ago. And then I recently went there again before their plant sale that they had. And we were talking about different trees and everything. And I was looking at his loquat leaf oak. It's probably the biggest one in Texas. It's about 50 or 60 feet and real big and full and everything. And you'll notice on the photographs in the entry, and I'm talking about the library entry on our website on dirtdoctor.com. You just go to the website and go into the library. Everything is listed in alphabetical order. And the entry for these two plants, like most everything else that I talk about, is right there. And the search works pretty well, too. You can just type in what you're searching for up there in the top right-hand corner of the homepage that comes up, and it'll come to you pretty quickly. But the one at Stephen F. Austin really does look like loquat leaves, the big shrub loquat. They're not gray and fuzzy. They're a darker green, but they're real thick and kind of rough in texture. And the tree there has a pointed tip on all the leaves. The one I have that was sold to me as loquat leaf, and I assume it is, has the same texture other characteristics as the one there in Nacogdoches. But it has a serrated tip. It has a multi-pointed tip on it. Probably the same thing going on there that you see in live oaks. If you look at live oak leaves, it's hard to find any two that are exactly the same. They vary in size and shape and indentations in the edges of the leaves all over the place. And that's probably the same thing with this tree. But anyway, it'll be a little hard to find for you. Mail order companies we put on the newsletter are some of the sources that I ran into. One of them claims to sell it, but currently out, so it'll just be a reference for you maybe for later on. But there may be some other sources out there, and if any of the listeners have any sources for those or any other unusual plants, please let us know, and we'll make that information available. But those two are certainly worth trying, and they'll grow in a wide range of climates and soils, and you can see all that data on the entry where they do well and where they probably won't do so well. We've got a new contest up, and I haven't even looked at my email. I probably ought to do that, because you can guess or just identify without guessing, know what the contest picture is, and win one of our courses, the Natural Organic Certification course. That's what the winner gets. And I don't see anything that's come in by email yet. And so if you want to call the show and guess the one that is up this morning, it ought to be easier, the one that's there this morning, for you to identify. But we shall see. We've got a guest coming in, I think, at the 9 o'clock hour. Is that right, Mary Rose? Is that going to be the start of the second hour that's going to be interesting for me and for you as well? He's an expert on mushrooms. I hope he got the photograph that we sent him a few days ago. One of the listeners sent us a very unusual mushroom. Look, at least it was unusual to me. I don't know what it was. It looked like a tulip blossom almost, and the listener sent it to us for identification, and so we passed it on to him, and if he got it, maybe we can talk about that. And if you've got any other questions about mushrooms, I've gotten several lately. It's been kind of interesting. People send me pictures of mushrooms and ask me to identify them. I can identify very few mushrooms. I know some of the very typical ones, the fairy rings that grow when something is decaying out in your front yard. Those are easy to identify. And a few of the others, the mycorrhizal fungus normally is pretty easy to identify because it's such an ugly mass, the fruiting body that comes up from the ground. But there's a ton of others. I mean, just hundreds and thousands of others. There are at least two companies and with experts that attend the Mother Earth News Fairs, and this is one of them that will be at the next event. He may be at all of them. I'm not sure. We'll find out. But they bring samples to those fairs and show people all the different kinds of mushrooms, and they talk about, you know, which ones are poisonous and which ones are edible and all that kind of stuff. So that'll be fun to go over with him. And we'll, you know, talk about anything else that related to that that you want to discuss. The gardens, one of the things that Bob Webster and I were discussing on his show yesterday, we visit every Saturday morning on his show down in San Antonio, but we're continuing to get and to see ourselves unusual situations out there with plants. And he was talking with some of his listeners before I went on with him about the fact that fruit trees are showing some real trouble. Some of them not leafing out at all. Some of them leafing out very slowly. No flowers, no buds setting, very, very slowly coming out. And he was talking about the fact that it might be related to lack of cold hours in the winter. You know, we had some dramatic cold spells, but overall we didn't have a lot of hours of temperature below 40 degrees. And he was telling his listeners that that might be the case. Well, I had been looking at it also from a little bit different standpoint. I'd been looking at it on pecans. Pecans are coming out incredibly slow. Even big, existing natives and as well as hybrids that have been planted and new trees also. But I noticed something else in my garden. I was looking at my ginkgos. I've got ginkgos all over the place, not just the big one, but the small ones that have sprouted up around from the big tree. I plant in containers. Sometimes I'll plant 10 or 15 in one container and have a little forest of ginkgos growing. I've shown you some of those shots. And in the entry on dirtdoctor.com, I think I have shots in there too. If I don't, I'll add some. But one of them, one of the largest ones, I noticed that the new growth was looking real funny. And finally, those twigs have completely died. So I think I've figured out what is going on with some of the trees that are coming out so slowly and producing badly, and I'll cover that for you and then get into some other things when we get back, and then we'll go to the phones after that. So give me a call whenever you're ready. 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. The website's dirtdoctor.com. You can sign up for the free newsletter right there, and you can learn about our natural organic certification course right on the homepage.
Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your garden variety fertilizer. It's a specially blended product for vegetable gardens with a rich, all-natural blend that nourishes your plants and helps grow healthy, mouth-watering vegetables. It's simple to use and safe for the family and pets with no harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers ever added. Best of all, Espoma products are effective for your organic production. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
What if you could be younger and stronger for longer? Many experts agree that regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the future of medicine and even your personal health and longevity. So if you or someone you know is suffering from chronic pain or dealing with other health challenges, then stem cell therapy just may be the solution. It's simple, safe, natural, effective, and affordable. So before you operate, before you medicate, now you can regenerate.
I shattered my elbow, was experiencing chronic pain. Nothing seemed to help. I said yes to stem cell therapy, and now I'm pain-free. Range of motion improved, and I'm able to do things I never could have imagined. I have my life back.
To see how stem cell therapy can benefit you, call now for a complimentary consultation, a $200 value. Call 800-705-6006. That's 800-705-6006.
Mosquitoes can transmit deadly diseases, including Zika virus, West Nile virus, and dengue fever. Use Summit Mosquito Dunks to kill mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. Just float an organic mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and any standing water to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Don't worry, mosquito dunks won't harm people, pets, fish, birds, or other wildlife. Mosquito dunks are available at fine garden centers and hardware stores.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And just to finish on what I was talking about there, the what I think I figured out about the damage to trees, rather than the lack of cold hours, is the fact that there was some cellular damage from that incredible drop in temperature we had that one day. You know, it dropped just a huge temperature. I forget exactly how many degrees, but it was a whole lot of a drop in 12 hours, just a very, very dramatic. It went from like 70 degrees to down in the teens. And I think that it was the culprit. I think that day is what damaged the tips growth, has slowed down the new growth coming out on some trees and actually killed some twigs. Some of the end tip growth of my little ginkgos had little deformed leaves that were coming out very, very slowly. And some of them have now shriveled up and died. Most of them are still fine. In fact, the ginkgo planting in a pot that's near the house is beautiful and putting on a whole lot of new growth. In fact, it's going to outgrow that area and that container. It's growing so well. But back in the garden, and I didn't even move them. I left them in the pots during those. The one yesterday in one of the little trees that was all the way over at the edge and touching the rim, the edge of the terracotta pot, it killed it completely. And others in the pot are doing okay. So if you're having trouble with trees that really looks unusual, I think you can take it back to the culprit of being that one day where it dropped so tremendously. And one more quick thing, and then we'll get to the phones some people have been holding for a while. The dog today is a cutie. We need some help, though, with last week's dog. Big N is still waiting for his forever home, and he's a good-looking dude. His picture's on our website. Just go to the SPCA button, report button on our website. If you look at the homepage and you look over at the right, those topics that are listed, those are the most recent things that have been edited or put on the website, and you'll see the SPCA button right there that you can click on. And go check out Big N. This is, of course, for the people in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. This is the Jan Reese Jones Animal Care Center. Well, actually, China, that I'm going to tell you about, the new dog, is in McKinney. So they'll be either in the McKinney Center or the one in Dallas. But China's a good-looking gal, too. 5-year-old black and tan shepherd mix. 43 pounds, super sweet and gentle, but a bit bashful. Her previous owners moved and couldn't take her with them. That's unfortunate. And she is used to living outside all the time, so she's been a little nervous at the center, but she's getting used to the big comfortable beds that she gets there, and she's really coming around, and they're saying that she's just incredibly sweet, even though a little bit shy when she first meets you. So check out China and Big N on our website and give them a hand. And wherever you are in the country, help out the rescue organizations. They are a great way to get a pet. Let's catch up on a few phone calls here, and then I'll get back to a few in Howard's Gardens and things that we need to talk about. Tree diseases, various diseases. There's a lot of questions about specific things, and I'll work those in as we go if we don't get calls about them. Neil in Fort Worth is first up. Hello, Neil.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. What's going on?
Well, I just heard your recorded message on the break about mulch, and I wanted to say something about that. I wish you'd remove your sort of qualifier about pine straw, because I think it looks good under any kind of evergreen.
Okay, well, you mean when I say it can look out of place if there's no pine trees there?
Yeah.
Well, it's just a personal opinion. A lot of people use it and don't have pines, and that's fine. That's just one thing that's always occurred to me.
Okay. Well, anyway, the reason I wanted to mention it is because I talked to you, I don't know, probably a couple, 3 years ago about having a problem with the cedar elms sprouting in my yard.
Uh-huh.
And the area where I've mulched heavily, they don't come up at all. And I use pine straw. The area where I have a problem is where I did expanded shale and decomposed granite. And I constantly have to fight them there.
Well, that's a good tip. I don't know that pine straw would be any different than any other mulch to keep them from growing, but maybe so. Maybe there's some natural chemistry there that prevents germination of seed. That's an interesting tip.
Yeah, it may just be the fact of being heavily mulched, because I've used some shredded cedar in the same area too, and they don't come up in that either.
Okay. I've seen them come up in mulch. I guess it just depends on how moist you keep the mulch and whether there's, you know, germinating conditions there. But anyway, that's a good tip to bring up. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and then the one other thing that we've talked about in the past that I wanted to mention, a few years ago I told you about using, I guess, what I would describe as a fertilizing stake. It was a heavy-walled PVC stick with holes drilled in it,
mm-hmm.
to stake trees.
Okay.
And that went the windstorm that we had several weeks ago pushed an oak tree over, not all the way, but so much that I had to stake it. And I tried just using half inch regular PVC, and it's not heavy enough to do the job.
Okay, so what do you use? What size is it?
Well, I'm gonna come back now with some rebar.
Oh, okay, something stronger. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run here for a second. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping and delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these top-rated books by clicking on the Howard's Books button on the top of the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. That's DirtDoctor.com.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to DirtDoctor.com, that's DirtDoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Ah, the pursuit of anti-aging. We diet, exercise, use the latest moisturizers, but did you know that dietary supplements can make a huge difference too? Our body's master antioxidant, glutathione, plays a significant role in the anti-aging process by helping to keep our strands of DNA healthy. At the end of our DNA strands are telomeres, little caps that protect our DNA and chromosomes. Over time, these caps can become frayed and cell aging accelerates. Anti-aging studies suggest that by boosting our body's glutathione levels, we can reduce telomere shortening and help protect our DNA. But since our glutathione levels decrease as we age, we need some help. RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable supplement that is transforming the future of anti-aging health and wellness. RegActive features ME3, which has over 20 years of research and is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in our body, helping to support our cellular and anti-aging health. RegActive is available on Amazon.com. That's REG-ACTIV.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Before we go back to the phone, let me give you the real-time health tip, which is pretty good today, pretty good information. Do's and don'ts when you're dealing with knee pain. A lot of people have that. I have been, as I was going through tests about other things that I've told you about not too long ago, they said, by the way, do you know that you had a torn meniscus in your knee? And I said, no. I said, is it okay for me to walk and playing golf and the dog and everything? Yeah, if it doesn't hurt, it's fine. Go for it. So I don't have much pain from it. It's kind of a weird deal, but a lot of people do. The do's is as follows. Walk often, but warm up, stretch. You never want to jump right into hard exercise routine without warming up. I agree with that. Exercise in water. That's for those of you that have the facility to do that. I think that's a great idea. Work to strengthen your supporting muscles. Function on the two large muscle groups to create better support for your knee joints. Quadriceps and hamstrings, what they're talking about there. I don't know what those specific exercises would be. But anyway, the don'ts when dealing with knee pain: don't participate in high-impact activities like running, basketball, jumping. Frequent turns can aggravate knee pain. Don't exercise on hard surfaces. Take a walk in the grass or a dirt path. Of course, that is for people who have the ability to do that. Don't overlook your weight. Being overweight adds stress to your knees. That obviously makes sense. And then these are interesting recommendations. Don't wear worn-out shoes. Cushion insoles or shoes that are specially shaped for your foot are the best options to reduce knee pain. I'll add something to that that I've discovered myself on shoes. Most people, and I used to do this when I was younger and for a long time, I wore shoes that were too small, and I wore shoes that were too narrow. Most people do, and I found out that, like most people, having plantar fasciitis, which almost everybody does at some point in time, I've totally eliminated that by doing two things. One, going barefoot as much as possible, and two, wearing shoes that are real wide. Have a wide, especially wide, just, you know, behind your toes. And then the last thing it says here is don't overdo it, of course. Real-time pain relief is the product if you have some aches and pains that you ought to try. No harmful chemicals such as GMOs or parabens or SLS. And if you haven't tried it yet, you can get a free $10 tube with your first purchase. Real-time pain relief, it's 877-787-7180, or go to their website, which is rtpr.com. All righty, and back to the phone lines. Let's get caught up a little bit here. Bob, listening on WCPT in Juliet, Illinois. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Howard, I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Had a question about my maple tree.
Okay.
I planted it. It's doing really well, but the roots are coming up to the surface, and I think it's affecting the lawn, and I'm hitting it with the lawnmower and things like that. What can I do?
Well, here's what you need to understand. One is it's perfectly normal for that to be going on. Having shallow roots maybe means that before now you were watering a little too often and not enough at each watering, and the moisture was staying up near the surface of the lawn, and that's why they developed and got big up at that level. So when you water, just for future reference, and it might even help with this tree here, and we recommend this in general, water very, very heavily, and then go as long as you can between waterings. It's completely different than most contractors and landscape people and even irrigation people recommend. You want to water really soaking deep, 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 and then go as long as possible. Now, there's nothing really wrong with having those roots there other than cosmetics and running into them with the lawnmower. The tree develops a great big flare naturally and will have roots up at the surface in most cases. So there's not anything hurting the tree or going to cause any problem for the tree. It's just a problem for you and mowing out in the lawn. Now, you can cut some of those away just like pruning a limb out of the top of the tree. Just don't do too many at a time. If you know, really hate the way it looks and if it's really a problem, you can dig around them, prune them away, and smooth out the lawn that way. I would probably just leave them there and work around them, maybe put a ground cover in instead of grass in those areas or something like that. But if they are a problem, they can be pruned away and won't hurt the tree much at all.
Great. Thank you very much for your advice.
Okay. I appreciate the call.
Take care.
And, they're going to be there to some degree. In most cases, it depends on what kind of tree it is. Some trees more than others. Magnolia, for example, will have a very large percentage of its root system right up at the surface, especially under the canopy of the tree. Here's Carol in Dallas. Oh, Carol.
Hi. Happy Easter.
Well, same to you.
I talked to you a couple of weeks ago. I've got a bunch of rogue ligustrum and privet and stuff, and I cut them down and they bush out. And you said saltpeter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got on the internet and I ordered, well, they said saltpeter. And anyway, I thought I was getting potassium nitrate and I got sodium nitrate. Can I use that?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never tried it. That's the product that, you know, when we were talking about controlling the feral hogs, the boar, you know, the pig problem in Texas and other states, that is a chemical that has been used as a poison, and it's supposed to be much more effective and much more humane in how it kills. It just puts the animal to sleep. So whether it would help with stumps, Carol, I don't have any idea.
Okay. Well, I'll just send it back. And
I probably would get the right stuff. And if you drill holes in those stumps and put the saltpeter in those holes, and it by itself will kill the stumps probably. But you've heard me talk about it. If you want to do it even more thoroughly, just get some in your barbecue grill, get some briquettes going, and when they're burning completely, you know, red hot, put them on the stump, and it'll just smolder right down into the ground.
Yeah. Well, I was all excited, and now I've got to wait again. So can I ask one real quick question?
Yeah, sure.
I had some little spring onions, little green onions, and I'd read on some cooking thing that once you use the green, put them in water, and they'll send up more green shoots, which they do, but then they start getting anemic. So they got to where they were real pale green, so I just planted them. And now I've got these, it's been, oh, probably a year since I've done this, and I've got these big, long, I mean, I've got all sorts of green leaves and this big, long stalk. And then there's like a bud-type thing on the top. Is that an onion flower?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Does that make seeds?
It'll break open and probably have one of two things. They'll vary depending on whether it's a leek or an onion or a garlic or a cross. Where did you get these starts to begin with?
Grocery store.
Okay. Yeah, there will be either little bulblets that'll be there when that flower bud opens up, or it will open up if it's a leek or like my giant garlic, it'll open up and burst into a beautiful a flower, white flower, and the seed will be a little black seed that'll be in the flowers all over that round globe.
Okay. Well, if I dig these up, should I wait till this thing, bloom, as it were?
Well, I'm going through that thought process and decision right now with my garlic. My garlic, like I said, are the giant garlic, and as some people would argue, they're leeks. They're probably crossbreeds between onions and garlic. Be my best guess, and because they're hand-me-down plants, I don't know for sure what they are other than just what they look like. You can let the flower buds go to maturity and open up, and like I said, mine will look like a beautiful round flower. It's a whole bunch of little flowerettes. And that takes some of the energy away from the foliage and from the bulbs underground. If you cut the bulb off now as it first starts, mm-hmm. all the energy will go into the underground parts and to the foliage. So mm-hmm. it just depends on which way you want to go. A lot of times I'll do some I'll cut some of them off and I'll let some of them go to maturity because they're so pretty and they make beautiful cut flower arrangements.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I've never done onions before, so I'm totally neophyte.
Well, if it's onions, it won't be as pretty, or if it's a true garlic, it won't be quite as pretty as if it's the leeks and the, you know, the giant garlic like I have. Some of the onions have really pretty flowers and some don't.
Okay. Well, I'll just do one and leave
the other. Yep, see what you get. Yeah, and send me a picture.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the garlic is really pretty this year, and it's funny because I didn't plant any. It all has come from the rounds. You know, when you do the garlic, especially the big giant garlic like I have, elephant garlic is probably the best term for it, and some of the others do as well. There's little golden corms that are on the base of the bulb, and those you can save those and plant them somewhere else, or when you're pulling the garlic out when you're harvesting it, a lot of them just get left in the ground. Well, when they grow, the first year they grow, they don't form a cloved bulb. They form a round, it's just a solid one big round bulb, which is tastes the same and is used the same. No problem there. It's just different. Doesn't have cloves. If you leave it in the ground, it will become a big bulb the next time, you know, with the individual clove. So you can go either way. But when you do the harvest, you're leaving enough of those in the ground where you're going to have a fairly good amount of production the next year. I'm going to start talking about something, and I'll finish it when I come back, and we'll get back to the phones. A lot of people are talking to me about brown patch and St. Augustine grass, rose rosette, and even oak wilt, various diseases out there. Some of it's from all the heavy rain and more rain than the plants are used to, and then people water too much and fertilize too much and have these diseases. We'll work that in as we go. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
Ladybug, a new Earth Natural product, provides high-quality compost, granular and liquid organic fertilizers, mulches, soil amendments, and nutrient-rich magic sand. All Ladybug products start with the finest all-natural raw materials and have dependable consistency. Ask for Ladybug at garden centers, farm stores, hardware stores, Whole Foods, and other quality retailers. To find a store and for more information, visit ladybugbrand.com.
Ah, the pursuit of anti-aging. We diet, exercise, use the latest moisturizers, but did you know that dietary supplements can make a huge difference too? Our body's master antioxidant, glutathione, plays a significant role in the anti-aging process by helping to keep our strands of DNA healthy. At the end of our DNA strands are telomeres, little caps that protect our DNA and chromosomes. Over time, these caps can become frayed and cell aging accelerates. Anti-aging studies suggest that by boosting our body's glutathione levels, we can reduce telomere shortening and help protect our DNA. But since our glutathione levels decrease as we age, we need some help. RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable supplement that is transforming the future of anti-aging health and wellness. RegActive features ME3, which has over 20 years of research and is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in our body, helping to support our cellular and anti-aging health. RegActive is available on Amazon.com. That's RegActiv.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic insect and pest control? Pure Grows Bug Stop is a blend of natural plant oils that controls mites, scale, white flies, aphids, tent caterpillars, and beetles. Bug Stop delivers rapid knockdown and kill and is safe to use around plants, pets, people, and beneficial insects. Ask for Pure Grows Bug Stop in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at puregrowusa.com or call 469-423-0712.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating the certified vegetarian probiotics. probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural, healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All right, Howard, back with you. The disease issue, like I said, probably comes from the unusual weather. We've had a lot of people would argue that we have unusual weather all the time in Texas and in many parts of the South. But this year we had a lot of rain. We had some big rain events. And as I have talked many times before, a lot of people out there, especially those with automatic irrigation systems, water too much. They overwater the heck out of their landscaping and their vegetable gardens in some cases. And when you have that going on and the system is set on automatic to water whatever the schedule is, a lot of people water small amounts, you know, two times a day, every day, every other day. In most cases, that's just way too often to water. And so these diseases, fungal and even bacterial diseases and sometimes others, pop up. Fungal are the most common ones. Some of the ones that are coming up the most that people are asking me about: brown patch in St. Augustine grass, and other diseases, take-all patch in St. Augustine grass. Also, the Italian cypress, this canker, fungal canker that is hitting them and then being manifest as brown spots all over the plant, and then the plants are continuing to go down and die. Rose rosette also fits into the same category. The photinia, red-tip photinia diseases that have been around for a long time, but I'm seeing them worse this year than ever before. The solution to all of those is the same thing, and it's what we call the sick tree treatment. People that tell you that there's nothing that can be done are wrong. There is. This sick tree treatment, you need to stop doing what caused the problem in the first place, watering too much or improperly, and using a bunch of high-nitrogen fertilizer, high-nitrogen synthetic fertilizer. That is part of the problem. You're creating a situation where the mycorrhizal fungus, this beneficial biological activity in the soil, this health of the soil, just isn't there like it should be. So the solution is stop doing the harmful things and then reverse it by building the life in the soil with compost, organic fertilizers, the rock minerals that we talk about all the time. And the single most important thing, a lot of arborists are finally getting into this and using it and recommending it. Not enough by any means, but I heard Bob talking about some of the people down in South Texas starting to really recommend and use the single most important thing that we have as part of the sick tree treatment is cornmeal. Whole ground cornmeal. If you've got brown patch, if you've got the canker on the Italian cypress, the photinia problems, the cornmeal is the most important thing for you to put out. If you do the entire sick tree treatment, it's a whole lot better. Get the soil off of the base of the plant. Get the flare exposed. In fact, I would argue that it's the most important thing to do, especially on the woody plants, shrubs, and trees. Get that soil off. Get that flare dramatically exposed. Aerate the root system. And the root system is going to go out far, far wider than the drip line. Remember that. And then you put out all the organic amendments, compost, rock minerals, and the sugars. And the sugar that's the most important is whole ground cornmeal. The details, I won't go through them all now because I need to get back to the phone lines. But if you go to the website, go to guides, the button guides on the homepage. That's the button that takes you to all the formulas, to the sick tree treatment, to the basic programs for all the different types of plants, and all the details are right there for you. And if you've got a question about it, call me on the show. Let's go to James in Rome, Georgia next. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Well, let me ask you something about lilac bush. I heard you talk about them the other day on the radio.
Sure.
Do you know any way to make that lilac bush bloom?
Yeah.
Back less than 5 years.
You got one that has never bloomed?
It's bloomed. Yeah, it used to bloom, and I cut it back, and it killed it. It stopped it blooming. Hummingbirds love it.
Okay. Cutting it back severely stressed it, obviously, and it is not happy about that, and that's probably why it's not blooming well. Is it still in full sun?
Well, no, not full sun.
Lilac, to bloom at its peak, at its best, needs to be in full sun. So you might think about if it continues to do poorly this summer, you might think about moving it this fall or planting some new ones out in a sunnier place. But the one product that will bring a plant into bloom better than anything is the mixture that we call Garrett juice. And the formula for it is also on my website and in my books like the new organic manual that we did with Mother Earth.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Spray it.
I probably won't live long enough to see it bloom again. I'm 73 years old now.
Well, you're going to live a lot longer than 73.
I hope I do, you don't ever know about that, though.
I'm close to that myself. I'm about to have a big one coming up here pretty soon. But, yeah, drench it with the Garrett juice mixture. Make your own. If you don't want to buy it, if you don't want to do that, you can buy it commercially. So you can go either way. But you want to drench it into the soil and spray it on the plant, the foliage, and the stems as well. Get it in full sun if you can. And if that doesn't work, buy some new ones and put them out in the full sun.
All right, I'll do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call.
All right, bye.
I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. That's hour number one on this Easter Sunday. If you want to be with us, we've got one open line you can jump on real quick at 866-444-3478. I think we're going to have a guest, a visitor, for a little bit at the start of the hour, and then we'll get back to your phone calls, and we'll work in some Hen Howard's garden as we go. The website is dirtdoctor.com, and the free newsletter that we do for you on a weekly basis can be signed up for right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. I'll be back.